So there could be a distribution, distribution delivery center. So say someone like FMCG who does distributor model, or it could be a dedicated delivery. So consider the case of say high-end cars, something like a Rolls-Royce, right? So it's a company that delivers. It doesn't rely on any dealers or any distributors as such. It's an actual company that delivers these goods to the end customer. So it's direct to the customer. Third is through the partner delivery model. You would see this in a lot of IT companies, right? So the Ciscos of the world, the HPs of the world, the Dells of the world, right? So they would have a partner who's a system integrator, but then a partner to their business, and they would do the delivery on the company's behalf. Next comes the third-party delivery, right? So again, so there are third-party vendors who are deployed by the company. So Dell laptops, right? So if you order a Dell laptop, and if you raise a service request, then there is a company, there is not a direct Dell representative who comes, but then there's a service partner of Dell. So it could be a Wipro or any other company who would come to your place and get your laptop repaired. And then there is a build to order strategy. So build to order, again, you would typically take the case of high-end cars, right? So say a Rolls-Royce, it's not customized for the masses, it's personalized for the individual. So it's built to order. They don't just make cars in bulk and keep them ready to sell it to the end customer. They will actually customize it, they will personalize it, and it's actually built to order. So again, so the key factors that influence the responsiveness of the order fulfillment process are the nature of the products, as we saw in the different strategies, and also the nature of the product demand that you see in the market. So it's actually a combination of both. So the customer demand and the actual nature of the product. So four components are involved in the actual responsive order fulfillment. So one is the stimuli that is received, then is creating that awareness, then having those capabilities to deliver, and then having a proper goal to deliver that. Order fulfillment process also determines it's kind of decoupling point in the process where the forecast-driven and the demand-driven activities are met. The inventory buffer actually maps it actually the gap between the sales forecast and the actual demand is shortened, right? And it brings us to a very important point called as the JIT or the just-in-time concept. Now, I'll just take 2 minutes of yours to explain what JIT is. So JIT or the just-in-time concept, it was initiated in the automobile industry in the 1970s. So it's a management strategy that aligns the raw material orders from the suppliers directly with the production schedules. Now, companies use this inventory strategy very effectively so that it increases the efficiency and decreases the waste by receiving the goods as they come in for the production process. This method requires the company to actually have a very strong process in place so that the demand forecast is very robust, and basis this they would plan the inventory. Just to give an example, so Toyota, we all know, right? Toyota is a company which is really successful in the market, and Toyota is known for implementing the JIT style of business. So the Toyota orders are complete when they receive the orders from the customer, and although they started it in 1970, but then it took a lot of iteration for them to actually perfect it to have the finished goods in place, right? So although they used to follow a lot of JIT inventory, that is a just-in-time inventory system, but then it almost took a good 10 to 15 years for them to perfect it. So the point I'm trying to drive here is that basis the just-in-time inventory system, a lot of costs can be controlled so that it will give you cost advantages for the company. Coming back to the order fulfillment, so just-in-time, it is used by Walmart a lot, right? For lowering the holding cost we just spoke about, and lowering the ordering cost as well. So to bring about improvements in any system, it is essential to define the key performance parameters and analyze the data to determine the system performance. So many metrics can be used to analyze and optimize the order fulfillment system. So there are three metrics that are highlighted. So one is the order accuracy. So how good is the order that is there in the system? One is the production pick rate. So once there is a order that is there in the system, how the production or the assembly line picks up that order and delivers it. And third is the order cycle time. So how frequently is the order getting received so that the production line can learn about those and probably incorporate those changes. So in real time, the SCM or the supply chain management, it integrates with the entire process. And it helps you to transform a linear supply chain into an adaptive network. So why adaptive is basis the customer demand. We spoke about GIT. Basis the customer demand, my inventory can be planned so that I don't have a lot of inventory carrying costs for the raw materials as well as the finished goods inventory. A lot of intelligence can be driven in terms of getting the demand forecast from the market and integrating that with the assembly line. The vendors and the suppliers, the time for the raw materials to reach to the inventory can be reduced by having effective vendors and contracts in place. So just to summarize the benefits of SCM. So SCM as a function, we looked at it as to how it delivers the entire value from the vendors, suppliers to the end customer. So the benefits of SCMs are, one, it helps to improve the visibility of the entire process. Second, it's an adaptive supply chain that reduces uncertainty in the chain in any point during one stakeholder to the another stakeholder. It helps you to have quicker responses. Then it's important, it helps to maintain proper inventory level, minimize the delays, eliminate the rush. So if for any kind of unplanned activities, because if you have everything in place, then the unplanned activities are reduced. Give a best customer service. Now this is of key importance. So all these activities that we spoke about and the benefits is for the customer. So it helps you to win the customer confidence. And again, it can help to create a big success of the business. So if you look at some of the key challenges in a SCM function, so there is a distributed network failure, right? So anywhere in the network it could fail. But the solution to it is to have a completely integrated approach, a network flow optimization. There could be supply contracts which are not properly tied up. So you can use some kind of optimization through supplier relationship management and have proper contracts in place. And there could be some kind of distribution challenges. It could be addressed through warehousing solutions, transport management solutions. Then there could be technology support in terms of integrating. So implement and integrate the SCM and the ERP solution, which is a key point. That is the second last point that I'm driving. So the SCM as a function is really powerful. We looked at the ERP and its challenges. If driven in silos, it could help individual function but not the organization as a whole, not any kind of senior level strategic decisions as such. So the technology support plays a key role implementing and integrating the SCM with the ERP function to drive better customer value. And that is the last point, which says that the service level maximization or the customer satisfaction increases if SCM is a function with the distributed chains, with the proper inventory, with the supplier contracts, with the different kind of distribution strategies. If it gets integrated with the ERP and there is a proper framework attached to it, it can lead to good business benefits. And then there are global supply chains as well, right? So not necessarily everything that starts from the country ends here. So there are global supply chains also. So say for example, there are certain parts of machineries that come from other parts of the globe, as we spoke about in the earlier, just before some time. So the global supply chain can have a few of the below challenges. One, it could be really long to establish it. Then there could be potential, you know, cross-border challenges. It could be due to the regulatory frameworks that the government might have, or due to say the custom clearances, which could be a process by itself, or the language barrier or the government regulations that we spoke about, then there could be IT challenges. Now, if there is a supplier that is on the other side of the globe, say for example a Japanese supplier which is supplying it to an Indian automobile company, then the Japanese would have their own quality standards, their own IT systems. So the entire system has to get integrated with the Indian system. So it requires a lot of collaboration, a lot of communication. So to get a foreign party into our system, it takes a good amount of time to balance the priorities of both companies. So just to sum up, the challenges of the supply chain would be to, in terms of achieving the global optimization, is conflict resolution, complex networks and system variations. Managing the uncertainty is managing obviously the demand and supply gap that we spoke about. And the fundamentals of every system for a supply chain management is basically constituted of the ERP system. So SCM, as we spoke about, it has to be linked with the other modules like the warehouse management system and the transport management system. So these systems can be either a standard package or configurable parameters. So there could be either custom softwares, and then there could be little customization to fit to the company's need, and it could have a very powerful impact to the company. So there are SCM frameworks. So one is, yes, we looked at ERP as the broader framework, and then there are modules such as the warehouse management system. So the warehouse management system helps you to dive deep into how the finished goods inventories are, what state, if there are any orders that are in the pipeline, how they are getting delivered. Then there is the transport system, which is the transmission system, as I like to call it. It's the heart of actually delivering the finished goods to the customer. So following are the key characteristics that enhance the effectiveness of the SCM software implementation. So the top key level process is uninterrupted by the department and the organization boundaries. So we spoke about the example of a global supplier for an Indian company. So it should get integrated, right? Second is the collaboration we spoke about. Integrated planning, forecasting and scheduling, important to have all these three in place so that your finished goods are stocked up in the right inventory. System generated transactions, automated data collection devices so that your demand is accurate in place, and better visibility to the entire information. Now let us look at some of the key products in the market that help to drive the SCM function. The top five market leaders in this are SAP, Oracle, JDA, Manhattan Associates and Epicor. So as per Gartner, you would see that SAP has always been in a leader's quadrant because it has grown everything organically, followed by Oracle, and we'll dive deep into each of those. And you could see their market shares, which are mentioned in the slide. And then typically there is a very huge market by the ISVs or the independent software vendors. Now, these could be either tier 3 or tier 4 SCM providers, or it could even be some of the big names in the tier 2 space. So they basically cater to the company's requirements, and they will have a lot of offerings as such. So procurement and supply chain execution are two areas where companies focused upon and grew the above above on an average of 12 to 10%. So some of the key software components here in this are the supply chain planning, demand planning, vendor managed inventory, supplier management, procurement process, the strategic sourcing for some of the key goods, warehouse management we spoke about, transport management we spoke about, and order fulfillment. So let us look at SAP and some of the key components what SAP includes. So in terms of the SCM function for SAP, they have the sales and operation planning, they have the demand supply planning, demand management, collaborative response management, manufacturing and supply planning, and service parts management. Then there are others such as the transport management, warehouse management, supply chain, and track and trace. So track and trace, we took an example of during each part of the value chain when a goods get transferred from one stakeholder to another, you can actually track how the flow of goods and information is. In terms of Oracle, so there are Oracle sustainability solutions, supply chain management, cloud solutions, Oracle Fusion, Oracle JDE Enterprise One SCM, then JDE World Manufacturing Management, e-business suite, PeopleSoft. So PeopleSoft is again one of the key acquisitions by Oracle, and they have a significantly high market share. The other modules of the Oracle function include the product value chain, the value chain planning, procurement, management, asset lifecycle management, and the value chain execution. So SAP has been a part of the leaders in the entire omni-channel solution. So just to take you through this point, so SAP and Oracle, we all know that they are now leaders in the SCM space, right? So Oracle provides the Oracle X-Store or the Commerce Cloud or the customer engagement frameworks, right? So just to sum up, a few key trends in the supply chain industry. One is omni-channel, and I'll discuss this in detail. Then there is online purchases, software as a service. So let us take an example, right? What do you mean by omni-channel? So till now, the product that are purchased online can be shipped only to a customer address, right? So items purchased, say for example in a store, may have a different price than a online store. So we generally see this across. So say if I have to buy a product, so consider the example of a DMart, right? So say you go there to buy a pack of butter, and the price that you see in the actual store might differ from the price that you see in the mobile app. So this is not what is called as omni-channel. So there are different channels in which a customer can buy. So one is obviously the online channel, one is the actual physical or the physical medium or the channel of the stores. But then if there are two different prices of the same product, so the customer becomes confused, and it leads to customer frustration, right? So omni-channel solutions have a single touch point, so a one-touch integration across all the channels to provide a superior customer experience. So the omni-channel solution will have the flexibility to ship the item from the e-commerce store to the home directly, or even if you've bought it from the online medium, you can probably visit the store to buy it. So the warehouse system and the entire inventory system is designed in such a way so that the multiple touch points get reduced to a single touch point, and all these systems are integrated by itself. So just to again go back to our point, the omni-channel trend is now catching up in the supply chain as well, right? Just to have a unified experience across the different channels. We saw online purchases, how it is gaining popularity. Then there is something called as software as a service. Right now, we will dive deep into SaaS models when we discuss cloud computing. But software as a service, very briefly, a finished product which is in the cloud, which is ready to be absorbed, is something called as software as a service. You don't have to invest in the infrastructure, just like a ERP. This resides everything in the cloud, and it's just pay per license kind of a model. Then there are eco-friendly logistics, which are now gaining popularity. Lot of business intelligence is getting integrated in the entire value chain. This could be in the form of artificial intelligence. There could be a lot of machine learning algorithms to facilitate business intelligence. And then there is a lot of demand for labor management. Now we see that labor or the skilled resources are very expensive. So there are a lot of demands to actually optimize and manage those resources. So these are some of the key trends that we see in the supply chain industry. So just to summarize what we've learned in this chapter, SCM is a key function as far as the organization is concerned. It helps to deliver value during the end-to-end value chain. So it starts with the suppliers and ends with the customer. The consumer or the customer is the key as far as the supply chain is concerned. In each transaction from one stakeholder to another in the supply chain, there's a lot of value that is added, and this value helps to deliver a greater business value to the customer. We looked at the different strategies in the SCM function, how it helps tactical, strategic and the operational decision making. We looked at some of the different models like direct to customer, using a partner distributor model, using a third party model, how it helps to get value. And last we saw two of the giants, so that is Oracle and SAP, what they have as their SCM product. From an enterprise solution perspective, SCM it functions as one of the modules in the ERP function, and it has to be integrated. The SCM function has to get integrated with your vendor suppliers, so their IT systems have to have a complete collaborative access to your system. Again, basis the roles and responsibilities, the security mechanisms can be in place. And we saw a few of the trends that are emerging in the supply chain functions, like the online, the software as a service, the omni-channel, and how business intelligence is getting driven through AI and ML, right? So I'd like to thank you and hope this has been informative to you.